friends, and welcome to the Co-op Show. I feel like I need a flow for that intro. It totally rhymes. I'm one of your hosts, Brits.
And I'm Jason.
And today we're talking about our time trying to survive the great outdoors with our encumbered asses and outward.
Yep, sounds about right.
Yeah, but first, how's life? It's not like I live with you and talk with you every single day.
Life's good. No, it's been a while, hasn't it?
I think the last show we put out was the one where we're like, oh, hey, the game of parenting. It's a thing we're doing.
Well, we're still playing that game.
We are. That game is a very game as a service.
Yeah, I hear that game that they plan to support it for about 18 years or so, and then they're going to...
I think it goes beyond that from what I hear.
Really?
Those live service games, man, they'll just milk you for all they can get.
Well, I think it's DLC after the first 18 years.
Oh, Lord. But but no, we're still trucking along. Our child is still alive, so we're feeding him and watering him and giving him plenty of oxygen.
Yes. I think those are the ingredients for life, right?
Yeah. He's 5 weeks old this week.
Woo! Time is flying.
It's really flying. And we're trying to be as consistent as we can. So I think it's saying a lot that this episode's coming out on a Monday, like 2 weeks after the last episode. But
oh, man. Yeah. Well, we're trying. But, you know.
Gaming's hard to do these days. It's not a thing we get to do very often.
No. I mean, all we're doing is playing the game of parenting pretty much. And then it's like, well, where's the time to play other games?
I'm back on my Yakuza bullshit, admittedly.
Yes.
But friends, I want you to listen. Shh.
That is the sound of satisfaction and relief.
That is the sound of whiskey going down my gullet, into my belly, and eventually out of my body.
Thank you for that lovely visual.
You're welcome. I got you. All right, let's talk about Outward. This is an episode that's been a long time coming.
Yes.
And now that we've been playing the DLC, I feel like it's time. So Outward originally released on March 26, 2019. It was a review copy back in the day. It is described as an open-world fantasy survival RPG. That's a lot. It is rated M for mature for blood and gore, partial nudity and violence. I don't think I've seen any titties.
Nudity?
Yeah. Developed by Nine Dots, published by Deep Silver for Xbox, PlayStation, PC, and Stadia. It supports local and online co-op, which is really cool, for two players, and it is on... Oh, it's not on sale anymore. It was when I originally wrote up these show notes, but MSRP is $39.99. I think it was like 75% off.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. That would have been a deal.
Yeah, it really would have, but alas, the sale is over. Sorry, friends. So this game has a story,
really?
But I mean, that's not a surprising response from you of all people, but I had to go to Wikipedia to really get the ins and outs, because when you and I played this game and finished the quote story, it was in 2019.
Yeah.
But it feels like it's so light that I couldn't remember what it was. So I'm going to hop into the Wikipedia entry here. It's a little lengthy, but I feel like it'll be good for you and me to kind of get a refresher. All right. The game starts off with a player character, inhabitant of the city of Cierzo, getting shipwrecked off the coast of their home city. They had previously inherited a debt called the Blood Price from their ancestors, a debt that must be periodically paid. A blood price affects all members of a given family, and the voyage was meant to pay it off, but alas. Now penniless, and despite having barely survived the deadly wreck, the player is given only 5 days by the desperate townsfolk to pay off this debt and retain the family holding. Does that ring a bell?
It does.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Once the debt has been paid or the townsfolk to pay off this debt, once the debt has been paid or the player's home has been seized, which can happen if you don't pay off your debt, the player is given multiple ways to react to their unfair situation and the true story begins. So that at that point, you can join the Holy Mission of Alat, the Blue Chamber Collective, or free yourselves of the entire system through the Heroic Kingdom of Levant. So you have these three different factions and the story just kind of unfolds that way. So we recently hopped back into Outward, though, because of the Three Brothers DLC that recently just came to console. It came out last year on PC, and this is like a whole new area to explore. It's a whole new side quest, or not side quest, whole new story. There's a lot to do.
Yeah, and I'm so happy that we've hopped back into this. This is one of my all-time favorite co-op games that you and I have probably ever played, because it's so different from anything else we've played.
It is. So again, it is described as an open world fantasy survival RPG, and the story is like kind of light, like I said. You know, it's there, but that's not the true charm of Outward. So how do you start this game out? If like, this is one of my favorite memories of Outward, because it feels like Nine Dots just created this beautiful, I mean, I say beautiful because it is like, I think it's beautiful and charming graphically. I think it looks good. Uh-huh. I think, you know, whatever.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't look like a modern, you know, AAA or anything like that, but it looks good.
Maybe I should. It's more a very interesting and unique world to discover. Yeah. And they just kind of let you loose and they're like, okay, have fun. So you start off because, yeah, you have this blood price you need to pay and you have 5 in-game days to do it. Now, I remember you were just a weak flesh bag because here you are shipwrecked. You're in this town and it basically everyone is like stuck in their old ways. And they're like, oh, hey, you have to pay this because of your ancestors. And then they're like, OK, go out in the world.
Yes.
Make enough money somehow to pay off this price.
No hand holding whatsoever. No. The game is just like, all right,
and then off
with
you go. Yeah. And then off you go.
So you're like wandering around and shit.
One of my favorite memories of this game, because again, it's everything is trying to kill you in this game. There's hunger, there's thirst, there's heat, there's cold.
Disease. Indigestion, addiction. I mean, everything.
Yeah. Is there addiction?
In the DLC, yeah. Ambrose or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There is.
Yep.
And so this was like kind of the charm, and this is where I really knew I was hooked on Outward. We somehow like grabbed like a few sticks or some shit. I don't remember what our weapons were. And we left the town to save.
I think we had kicks. Remember we were kicking?
Oh yeah, you have kicks, I think. You're right. And we just explored. We headed off into this vast open world. And I remember there are those pearl birds. Do you remember those?
Yes.
And there's these really derpy birds. But the good thing about them is that they'll sometimes drop a pearl bird mask, which is a 2.4% drop. And so it's kind of like you have some RNG playing in there. You have these fun survival things and you're trying to kill all these birds to get all these like things that you can go back to town and sell. And I remember you and I were just running around trying to kill pearl birds and then we found a fort.
Yes.
Do you remember this?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we stumbled across this random fort and I remember we could only take out like one guy at a time.
Oh yeah, because we had nothing.
We were so weak.
So weak, so overburdened. And these guys had swords and shields and various other weapons or bows and arrows. And we didn't have shit. So it took us like 10 minutes to take one guy down. And then we would like loot his ass and run back to town. And we did that, 10, 15 times to get enough money to pay
the blood price. And then we had to pay enough money to get get loot and gear and weapons and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just so fun. I don't know if it sounds fun.
Well, for anyone who's like, okay, well, what is this game like? Here's the way I describe this game. Think of like an MMO, all right? Mm. And then just take out all the other players except for the NPCs. That is kind of like what this game is like. Like I feel like I'm in an MMO, but it's just you and me. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I definitely get that feeling too. Again, it's like the devs are like, we build this world for you. We're not going to hold your hand.
Yeah.
But there's a ton of stuff to discover and explore and just figuring out how magic works in this game. Yeah. That's a whole thing.
Well, the loot drops, you get weapons, you get armor, you get, you know, there's random mobs out in the open plains and you kill them and you get their loot. There's dungeons and there's dungeon crawls and there's like different kinds of play styles. And I really just feel like, oh my God, if you ever wanted just to play in an MMO with just your co-op partner, this is how you do it.
I'd say the MMO example is a good one, but there's a lot of differences. When you don't get XP when you defeat enemies.
That's true. You don't. There are also survival elements like hunger and thirst and so on, which you don't really typically see in MMOs.
Yeah. So I would say like when it comes to like the RPG mechanics of it all, there's no experience points. It's all like you find trainers or teachers throughout different towns and then they can teach you certain things.
Certain skills.
So obviously like you have your main quests, which is like, hey, and that objective is always there for you. You always kind of know what you have to do, but sometimes they're timed, so you have to be careful. But again, what this game really shines are the minor quests. It's the random dungeons you stumble across.
I love the dungeon crawls.
Yeah, because this game has the areas are pretty large, but you have a map. But the map doesn't tell you where you are on the map.
No.
All you can use are landmarks. I can't even tell you how many
You don't
times
even have a compass.
You don't even have a compass. No. So you're just like, okay, so this big volcano's in the middle. So it looks like we should turn west. Are we facing west right now? Like, you don't know.
I kind of like that. I do too. It's like we're out here. It gives you this feeling of like you're really out in the fucking wilderness with your co-op partner. And you're like, all right, we got to figure some shit out. And you're like, you have the map open together and you're looking at it and you're like, where do you think we are? And you're like looking around for landmarks. And it's like, what other game does that? You know, all the other games are like, here's exactly where you are on the map. Here's exactly how to get to where you want to go. Here's a compass. You have everything you need to pinpoint exactly where you are and how to get there, but yeah. not Outward. Like, Outward is like the antithesis of that. Outward is like, how can we not hold your hand?
Exactly.
It's like, how can we just make it more on you to figure out what to do and how to do it?
And on your way to try to find these landmarks, you're going to come across miscellaneous dungeons. Yes. You're going to come across, I think about this recent quest that we just did, that it was a miscellaneous dungeon, but we went in there and we found a shield at the very end of it.
Yeah.
And we're like, what the hell is this? Turns out it's a part of a different quest
yeah.
that we will, you know, eventually get to. And it's just so different. And I will say that the learning curve in this game is pretty steep.
Yeah, agreed. You got to have some persistence, I think, to sort of make it through the, especially the first probably few hours, because they really start you off with nothing. You do have to like do this difficult grind just to not only learn how to play, but to get the stuff you need to like start the game.
Yeah, for sure. And the good news is, like, when you and I first started out by playing this, the game had just came out. We had a review copy for it.
Yep.
But now there's like plentiful Wikipedias out there.
Oh, good.
So like if you need help, like you definitely like, you know, consult with that. So what else is there to do? There's crafting, which is a pretty big deal in this game. So you can craft equipment, food, drinks, medicine, and it's the kind of crafting system where you can combine things and hope that you get an item. Or you can find several recipes scattered throughout dungeons, in chests throughout the world, and then you know what you're going to make.
Loot off of creatures. Vendors will sell recipes or, you know, blueprints or whatever it is. And you know what a lot of this reminds me of?
Asheron's Call.
Yes. Asheron's Call. Oh, this game, I know we've talked about Asheron's Call on previous episodes, but that game, so that it was an MMO that had its heyday in 1998 to 2002-ish. It was that era. And it was, I mean, you and I played the hell out of that game for years and years and years, and we were there right when all the servers closed down, when WB officially closed the game down. But since AC was closed down, Outward is the game to me that gives me the most AC vibes of any game we've played since, or probably even before AC. Like, I love that about this game. The MMO elements, the little dungeon crawls, the recipes, the try your own recipe and see what happens. You might get nothing, but you might get something too, you know, like so AC-like in so many different ways.
Yeah, and again, I think that just comes down to the fact that there's all this stuff that you can explore and find and do, and it's up to you to find it.
With no hand-holding.
With no hand-holding. But no, like it's, even you can craft your weapon set. I think the weapon set I currently have is something I crafted.
I think you're right. And then I crafted the bow that I'm using.
Oh, look at you. You never craft in games.
Once again, I'm playing this weird mage archer hybrid, which is good at neither one of those things.
What's up with you building janky ass builds?
I don't know. Lately, I've been playing these weird. I'm like, I don't know. I can't choose whether I want to spec into bow or mage, so I just do both.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, is there anything like other like huge things that we should talk about before we start talking about just like the fun shit we've done in this game? Like any major elements to it. I mean, we've talked about the fact that it's survival, so I guess we could talk about that. So you have the heat, you have the cold, yeah, obviously.
You're going to die of, like, we've literally died of
being cold. And it's because my stupid armor that I've crafted, love it, and it's so beefy and powerful, but it's so heavy that my poor bitch, like, she, and this is where it makes, like, no sense, right, friends? So I'm wearing this big old fucking, like, armor, and I'm dying in the heat, and I'm, just, like, randomly dying, and Jason has to come revive me. But then he finds this stupid piece of armor in this random-ass dungeon. I don't remember what it's called. It's like fancy clothes or something.
Yeah.
And the weird thing about it is it provides heat resistance. And in the
it's like plus 18 resistance to heat.
Yeah. And in the Three Brothers DLC, it all takes place like on a volcano. So things are very hot there. And so I put on this armor. It's a fucking like Cinderella ball gown dress.
It's like a blue gown.
And here I am, this fierce warrior wearing like this blue poofy gown. Somehow I'm getting cold now on a volcano because it provides so much heat resistance.
It was hilarious.
It makes no sense.
But before that, how many times did your character die in the die of heat exhaustion?
Oh, all the time. I'm always dying.
Like six times your character died of heat exhaustion until you put on this fucking blue gown that I found for you.
Those gowns are hot. That's why I don't get it. Like I've worn gowns like that. You get hot and
it's
sweaty.
It's silly, but it's fun at the same time. Silly. Like, yeah, you know, you're going to be...
Oh, hunger?
hunger. We've died of hunger. We went to bed because you also have to sleep in this game. That's another thing that
you have to be well rested.
You have to be well rested, or else your character will die of being too tired. So you have to go. You have to sleep. And a couple of times we have gone to bed and woke up dead. Yeah. Like literally, that you wake up, you're just dead when you wake up because you died of hunger in your sleep, or you died of freezing, or you died of heat or thirst or anything. Like you can die of like all these kinds of things in this game. And I think that if you're not used to that kind of game, you might think, well, that sounds like kind of a fucking headache.
It's really not,
but it's actually fun.
I'm not the biggest fan of survival games. Like, yeah, same. To me, it usually feels like so much of a chore to be like, I just want to enjoy the game. Why do I have to worry about this fake person's hunger and thirst and heat, blah, blah. It's fun. It makes it fun because it's not too hard to get the resources. So like, you might find like, oh shit, like I'm fucking thirsty and I don't have any water. All I have is rancid water or whatever. And then what you can do is you can build yourself a little campfire, put on your little cooking pot and boil your water, and then you're fine.
Yeah, you just boil the water and then you can drink it.
It's kind of fun though, because you just really feel like you're alone in this world, but in a good way. It's kind of like Breath of the Wild, like in the sense that you feel like you're
alone.
The odds are stacked against you, but it's doable.
Yeah, like you're living off the land or whatever. And I feel like this is a co-op show. So I feel like when we're doing that together, we're like surviving together. We're doing this cool, neat thing. And that's the other part of it is like, how many times have one of us been like, oh shit, you know, my character like literally just caught a fucking cold, right? Because you can catch diseases in this game.
Yeah.
And then the other one of us will be like, oh, here's some tea that heals that. Mm-hmm. Or one of, like the other day, your character, you actually drank some like rancid water on accident or something like that. And your character got indigestion. Mm. And remember, I was like, oh, here's a thing that cures indigestion.
Yeah, like, definitely.
So you kind of help each other out to be like, oh yeah, I've got something for that. Or I'm hungry. Do you have any food? Yeah, here, I've got some extra food for you. Like,
oh, we should probably talk about combat too. I feel like the combat isn't like a strong point of this game.
No, it's probably a weak point of this game, but it's good enough.
It's good enough. I mean, for me, I'm a melee. Of course I am. So the thing is, like, friends, when you're playing this game, it's a survival game. So you usually have a big backpack on your back. Like, that's how you transfer your goods, like, all around. It's like you live off of your backpack, out of your backpack.
Right.
Side note, you can buy houses in towns and they have stashes in there. However, your stashes do not like universally translate to different towns. So if you leave your shit in that stash, like it's there. It ain't coming with you.
It might be gone forever.
So we've done so many trips around. Anyway,
oh my God, yeah.
Between towns, like hauling our stuff back and forth. Yep. Anyway, that was a big like little tangent there. But so you have these big backpacks on, and if you don't drop them before combat, your stamina is going to deplete way quicker. So you always want to like drop your backpack before you go into battle.
Yeah.
And for me, like I just drop my backpack. I just whack a few bitches. My stamina depletes because I'm always wearing that terrible armor. And then I usually have to back off and let Jason take it from there because I have to recover my stamina. But the combat for me is just like, I just press X and Y.
Yeah.
And I usually deal damage. You have a dodge roll.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah.
But that's the melee combat, the extent of it. And granted, there are different weapons, but tons of different weapons, actually. There's a lot of different items. There's axes, bows, maces, polearms, swords, gauntlets, daggers, pistols. Like, there's so much.
Yeah, we haven't fucked with the pistols, but I can talk about, you know, so I'm using a bow mostly. So I have to craft arrows from time to time. That's not too hard. And then, you know, you've got various different bow attacks. Like you've got a sniper shot and you've got a shot that inflicts bleed and things like that. My bow inflicts, poison damage on enemies as well. So, and that's another thing. There are status effects. You can set enemies on fire. You can poison them. You can like, I don't know. There's other shit. And then I've got this mage skill where I blow fire through my lantern. And so it's kind of like a breath of fire breathing dragon through the lantern, which is kind of cool. And then there's this other skill where I can create a fire rune on the ground, and it creates this circle where if you stand inside it and use a fire skill, that would normally be puny, like there's this the one called Spark, it turns into like an epic fireball because I'm standing inside this rune.
I just remembered.
When I first used Spark.
Yeah, well, we'll tell that story after this.
Yeah, so, you know, the combat is not... It's kind of clunky and it's kind of, it's not intuitive, I would say, but it's good enough because where the game really shines is in the exploration and just sort of the living and exploring with your partner.
Super dense. Like there's not a ton of enemies. So it's
usually one at a time. I mean, the most we've ever seen was like three at a time.
Yeah.
And that was like once we saw three at a time.
Okay, I have to tell the story about Spark. So like I said in the beginning, the way you discover and use magic in this game, I mean, the way you discover it, the way you can learn magic in this game is just pretty unconventional. It's not like you get XP and it's like, okay, you can use magic now.
Right.
You have to like seek out the person who can teach you it, then you have to do like a quest and you have to go to anyway, we were trying so long to get you this like fire skill that we were super excited about and we finally got it after trials, tribulations, whatever. You got your spark skill.
Yeah.
And you were so excited to show it off. And so like I paused my game, I was watching Jason, I'm like, okay, like show me spark. And he used it for the very first time. Friends, it was such a wet limp noodle dick magic move. I can't even tell you.
It was the weakest fire.
It was like a little piece of flint. Like someone like was using flint and a little spark came off. And yeah, that was legit.
It was like my character like lit a match at the end of his hand and that was pretty much it.
It was like such an anticlimactic ending.
Yep.
It was like everything was like paused. And the world stood still to witness this moment. And it was just a little...
You were laughing hysterically at me.
I saved it.
And I was
Xbox.
Laughing hysterically at myself because I was like, wow, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. God. But then we later learned that, okay, well, if you create this fire rune, put it on the ground, stand in the fire rune, lock onto an enemy, and then you use your puny little spark. Well, now it's not so puny. Now it turns into a fucking fireball that actually dishes some damage.
Yeah.
So like that's the way this game is. You can't just like choose fireball and shoot fireball. No, you kind of have to like build up to it. And in order to put a fire rune on the ground, you have to have a firestone. Mm-hmm. How do you get a firestone? You need a mana stone. How do you get that? You got to loot it. And how do you make the mana stone into a firestone? You have to infuse it with alchemy, with some hot oil. So like there's all these crafting components and like there's complexity to this game
that
in some cases is kind of like overdone, but at the same time it's like, well, it's kind of cool. I mean,
this game is meant to be played at a leisurely pace.
Yeah,
you know, if we only have like 30 to 45 minutes to play games, we won't touch Outward because
you need an hour to an hour and a half.
You need time to like get in, build in, like decide what you're going to do for that day, et cetera.
Well, not to mention, we haven't even talked about, there's no fast travel in this game.
Oh yeah, there's absolutely no fast travel.
Which means you run everywhere you go, and that itself takes time because the world is big.
And I'm such a hoarder that I'm always encumbered.
Oh no.
And I'm always over encumbered, so I'm always dragging my ass, like running like three.
Your speed goes way down, and your character limps along if they're too
Especially in the desert, and then I'm dying and getting roasted. Yeah. But no, I think that's a good, I would say like a pro tip is just go in with your patience.
Yes.
And just expect a learning curve and know that this game isn't like a wham, bam, thank you, man, like super action-y. It's more like, okay, like take your time. Like
this is a slow grind game. Yeah. You're going to play this out with your co-op partner over the course
of
weeks,
fun.
Probably.
And it's kind of broken. I mean, it's gotten a lot better since we played it last, but like
silly bugs and silly, shit.
Yeah. But I mean like the team of nine dots is a relatively small one. And I think it's a, from what I've seen, they treat their staff very well. You know, they don't do crunch. I mean, that's why this DLC came to consoles so much later after PC, and you have to admire that. And I think they have a really, really fantastic, like, creative crew there. And they have wonderful ideas, and they're being executed well. It's just such a special game.
It is special, and it's so unique. I have not played a game like this ever before. And like I said, I love how it gives me those Asheron's Call vibes. That's really special to me because I miss the hell out of that
game. I know.
Game.
We'll do a show on that game eventually. But there's fun towns to come across. You can buy a house for yourself. You can hang stuff on the wall.
Yeah.
You know, there's mini quests and other. It's just a fun time. And I would say just like hop into it. I recommend this game a lot on my social channels. And I'd say the vast, vast majority of people come back to me and they're like, I love this. I've had so much fun with this. It's just one of those kind of hidden gems that I feel like not enough people are talking about.
It is definitely a hidden gem. And I think it's because when you first look at this game, you're not going to be impressed by like the graphics or anything like that, you know, but that's not where this game is trying. It's not what it's trying to do. This game, where it really excels, is just in the exploration and teaming up with your partner. making sure you guys are ready to go out on a little adventure. And then you like literally have tents and you bring water and you might be sleeping in a tent out in the middle of a field one night because you run out of stamina or like your health is low.
Because you burn stamina and you burn health yeah. and then you can't recover it.
Like, so you're literally sleeping in tents in the out in the open forest.
And yeah. We just love it.
You might be attacked during the middle of the night. Like all this shit can happen but you feel like you're in a little adventure with your partner that feels more consequential than any other game I've ever played. And it's a really, really interesting and unique experience with a co-op partner.
Agreed. Very well said.
Thanks.
I think I hear our kid wailing.
Oh, okay. Is that our cue then?
Also, I do stand corrected. Outward has sold 1 million copies as of December 2020.
Oh, good. They deserve it.
Props to you guys. Fantastic game. Cannot recommend it enough. Like, if you only want to buy one copy, you know, you can buy one copy and play split screen with your partner. If you really like it, definitely recommend on two TVs if possible.
Yeah.
But I would say, like, the split screen UI is pretty good for what it is. So.
Yep.
All right, friends. Well, we got to go take care of our screaming child. Got to make sure we feed him and give him oxygen.
You mean we're going to go play some parenting now?
Play the game of parenting. Well, if you like the show, ladies and gentlemen, please feel free to leave us a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice, which I believe at this point is just pretty much Apple Podcasts. But that helps out so much. You can send us an email at contact@coopshow.com. Visit coopshow.com. Find me on Twitter @BlondNerd. And as always, we appreciate your patience as we try to navigate the game of parenthood with actual video games. So hopefully we'll be back next week. If not, we will get out a show as soon as we possibly can.
Later.
Bye.